92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning, summer in the city. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Tuesday, that means it's time for the Garden Line with our favorite guy, Mike Wiggins.
Hey, good morning, Meg. How are you?
I'm good this morning.
It is summer in the city.
Summer in the city. It's finally here. It's hot. It's here we go.
And I love it.
Here we go.
This is my time of year, no doubt about it.
All right.
Anyway, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. It's been a while since I heard a little Lovin' Spoonful, for those of you who remember who that was.
That is great music. Matter of fact, what was it? I was flipped the dials on the TV, and they had, I guess it was public radio.
Sure.
Was having one of their fundraisers, and one of the big deals was Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, gosh.
That was kind of part of the 60s deal.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, it brought back some memories.
When you hear some of the blowing in the wind, some of those old
exactly,
songs.
Exactly.
Where have all the flowers gone?
Yeah. Didn't they do Michael Row the Boat Ashore?
Yeah, I think so. They did a version of that. And what was it? Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh,
that was one of my favorite songs as a kid.
We have to dig some of that up.
We have to do a whole radio show at some point that's like not the Garden Line, but music.
Music, yeah.
We could have fun with
that. The best music.
60s,
70s.
You got it.
No question. Exactly. That would be fun. Talking about having fun, because sometimes we kind of tie the weather into gardening, which we always need to, because that kind of dictates what we do. But the weather has been gorgeous, and it was so great to see the weather really nice for the Fiesta Parade.
I know. It was beautiful.
It was just gorgeous. I mean, I congratulate all the people who were involved in the Fiesta Parade, who put in floats, had groups that were in the parade.
All the crews.
And, you know, and one thing about the crews that I always like to mention, because I think it's true, they have fun.
Mm-hmm.
They have fun.
That's
the pictures
of
it, they have a great amount of fun. But if you kind of dig a little deeper, you'll find that many, if not most, of those crews give money and effort to nonprofits, helping groups that need help, especially children.
Oh, they do throughout the year. Yep.
Exactly. And so that's a real plus. You know, go out, have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, they do good work.
I was in a crew at one point, so we would meet, of course, for Mardi Gras and all those
things.
But during the year, we did community service.
Exactly.
We would work on projects, a lot of other things.
So a lot of people
really
may
great.
Not realize that.
Yeah, it was great.
Because you get on the internet and you see all those great pictures of people having a good time. There's nothing wrong with that. I've been among them.
Right. No doubt.
Over the years. But they do good work. So I think we need to acknowledge that. We need to watch this weather. It is beautiful, but June can be a little dry.
Mm-hmm.
So just be aware. Watch your lawn especially. We can rain on Monday and Wednesday or Thursday. You may need to get that sprinkler system back on. Obviously, we have sandy soil. It dries out fast. So be aware of that. And remember now, there are certain things that happen in your yard that can tell you that your yard is dry. Remember, if the blade of grass folds up kind of halfway, or if you walk across your yard, or if you're mowing it, you look behind you and you're kind of leaving tracks.
Oh,
well, that means that the grass is dry and needs watering. So we need to be aware of that. This is the time of year where you're always kind of flipping back and on, you know, back and forth on your sprinkler system, just simply because we can be dry in June or we can have a lot of rain. So we will see.
If you have a question for the Garden Line, I want to get that phone number out there this morning.
Yes.
850-437-1620. Text your question in, and I'm sure that Mike will do his best to come up with a good answer for you.
I'll do my best. Let me tell you who else does their best, and that's the Escambia County Extension Service. I got a note from them the other day. Says they're used to hearing that they think that the Escambia Extension Service is our community's best kept secret because of all of their services. So I noted just a couple of their services they do. Keep in mind, our Extension Service is located on Stefani Road, which is a road right off 9 Mile Road.
Mm-hmm.
You take a left or a right, whichever direction you're going, east or west, onto Stefani Road, head north. About a half a mile up, is the Escambia County Extension Service. And here's some of the things that they can do. And much of this is things that we've talked about here on the Guard Line. And that, of course, is soil testing. You can take your sample up there, and they will send it to
really?
The lab. Oh, yeah. And they will send it to the lab. Or you can get online, and it'll tell you how to do it. And they will give you the pH of your soil.
Oh, that's great to know.
Now, you got to keep in mind, when you get that pH, that's really all you're going to get. You pay $3, and that gives you the pH, which tells you generally whether you need lime or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've always said that if you have St. Augustine grass or zoysia grass, good idea every 2 to 3 years to get that soil test. If you have centipede, I wouldn't worry about it.
Really?
Oh, yes, because we have an acid soil here in Pensacola,
mm-hmm.
and so why spend $3 to have somebody tell you you have an acid soil? You don't need lime. So I wouldn't do that. You can also, a lot of people don't know this, you can give them $10, and they will tell you not only the pH of your soil, but the nutrient situation in your soil, and so far as what you may need to it up to where it should be.
That's a great resource.
Exactly. That way you can kind of adjust your nutrient levels via fertilizer and lime and that type of thing. They also have a service where they have a plant pathology lab. The big one is in Gadsden County, where they can send your plant samples off. And that's a fee there. It's $30. You can submit a sample of a diseased situation, you don't know what it is, but you send it off, they will tell you what it is and what the remedy is for that situation. One note on that, if you send off a sample to a diagnostic lab, or if you take a sample up to the county agent, don't just take something dead. Don't take a right. limb that all the leaves are dead, or a piece of sod that's just dead. No,
mm-hmm.
You need to find an area in, say in your lawn that is in the process of having a problem. It can be the dead grass, but it needs to be adjacent to actively, whatever the problem is active.
Mm-hmm. So
that way they can tell you exactly what's going on, especially with St. Augustine grass, because there's so many different things that can happen to St. Augustine. And we've talked about those on the Garden Line, insects, sod webworms, chinch bugs, that type of thing. But when it comes to diagnosing disease in your yard, which happens in St. Augustine, we've talked about the Rosoctonia brown patch fungus, which is very common, which can be a major problem. But there's also another disease out there called take-all fungus.
That doesn't sound good.
The name, Meg, the name says it all.
I was going to say,
And not much one can do.
No.
But you need to know that, because mm-hmm. if you've got Rhizoctonia, you can generally treat it. Take all, that's another story.
Well, we've got a question about St. Augustine grass. Someone says, we have St. Augustine grass. Would now be a good time to thatch the grass, or is it too late?
Time to do what?
Thatch.
That's sure. Oh, no, if you're going to do it, that's fine. Do some aeration on it with some of the core aeration, where you pull up plugs like they do on golf courses.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. I have been kind of a fan, or maybe I should say I'm not a fan of thatching in every situation. I really think sometimes if you will mow the grass, don't mow it low, mow it high, St. Augustine, 4 inches at least, then get your leaf rake out and just rake it hard. And you can get some of that thatch out that way without having to go to all the trouble of generally renting a machine to thatch your lawn. And sometimes that will work just as well. So that's what you might want to think about. And I'll tell you what, let's take a little break.
Okay.
And come back and follow that.
Sounds perfect. We'll be back with Pep Talk and the Garden Line in just a couple minutes, so don't go away. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg and our host today with the Garden Line, Mike Wiggins. Got lots of questions rolling in, Mike, but I know you wanted to finish up on a couple of thoughts.
Let's finish up on the thatching. One, you might want to try just raking it out, depending on the seriousness of how bad a thatch you've got. But if you're going to do it, yes, this would be a good time to do it. No question about it. Let me back up into the county agent again, the County Extension Service, real quick. We've got a lot of questions. when you dance. They have a section on plant and insect identification, and you can take these samples up to the County Extension Service, and they'll help you there. But they also have a identification system where you can look at online.
Really?
And send all this stuff off.
That's interesting.
Oh, it is. It is. I am. But when it comes to plant identification, and you and I have used this on the garden line before, you can do a lot of it yourself. Because I just learned about this maybe a couple of years ago. The application, the app on your phone called Picture This.
Oh.
Which is fabulous. You go anywhere and you see a plant that's blooming.
Mm-hmm.
Take your phone. You have to install the Picture This app first. It costs a couple of bucks. It's not much. And with your camera, just a little picture, it'll come up on your phone,
mm-hmm.
how to take a picture
mm-hmm.
of the plant or the turf or whatever it is. Just click the picture, and it'll come back with more than you ever wanted to know about that plant.
How cool.
What it is, where it grows, how to take care of it. It's called Picture This.
Huh, okay.
And I bet you most of the people who are listening to our show have used that before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great. I never forget, I went up to Gainesville. They had some great gardens there.
Right.
Stuff that's almost on the edge of the tropics.
Right.
Not literally, but in where you can grow some tropical stuff. And I didn't know what some of the stuff was.
That's surprising. You didn't know.
Pictures This told me everything.
Huh, interesting.
It was really fun.
Okay.
So you can go to the county agent for your identification
mm-hmm.
of, what is this plant, how do I take care of it, et cetera. But there's some internet stuff that will help you too.
That's great for the Extension Service to know that's available locally.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
That's great.
They do a great job. Beth Bowles is our Extension agent, the head person
mm-hmm.
at the Escambia County Extension Service, and for years has done a fabulous job, not only in person, not only going out to people's homes and giving them information, but she's great on the internet, she's great on television, and she really does exactly what she should do, is telling people kind of what we do here
right.
on the garden line, talking gardening and helping solve problems and identify different plants. So,
well, that's a great resource to have.
So anyway, that's enough of that. But I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Extension Service.
Okay. Well, we've got a lot of questions coming in, Mike. Are you ready? You ready for the first one?
I think so. Let's see.
Okay. So any help or suggestions for the numerous ant beds that have popped up in my backyard?
That sometimes is tough because you can put ant poison on there that will kill the ants, but generally it'll move them. They'll move somewhere else. But you can put some of the poisons on there that are labeled and take a while to work, but they work their way through the ant bed, go to the queen,
mm-hmm.
and it makes the whole mound disappear. It's not easy, and you got to stay with it because you really can control them here, but they're going to move over here.
Oh.
So that's what you need to do. But there are many products out there that are for fire ants and for just, regular ants,
mm-hmm.
and it'll work. But you got to stay with it.
Got to be diligent. Okay.
No question.
Great question. So if you have a question for Mike, this is the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. Got another one for you.
Go for it.
And it says, and then this is cute, starts off by saying, I would love to speak to the expert.
Let's connect them with our research department.
The research
over
team
here.
Over here.
Yeah.
We have had a horrible time trying to get grass to grow in our yard.
Uh-huh.
That's the question.
Is that the question?
Yes. What do we do? Yeah.
You know what? That's an hour seminar.
I was going to say, that's not an easy, quick answer,
but
is it
a great question because so many people have that same question.
They don't even know where to start, probably.
Well, here's just a few basics. If you're going to grow grass, you need sun. Trying to grow grass kind of from scratch in the shade
mm-hmm.
has many times is not successful. If you've got trees, you may call the tree surgeon and try to thin them out, try to get more sun into that place.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got to decide which grass to choose. And this, we've talked about this a lot on the Garden Line. Do you want St. Augustine, even though it's got some problems, but it's a beautiful grass, one we've used in Pensacola for generations. Do you want Centipede, which is a little less expensive? Do you want zoysia, which is, I don't want to say it's not new by any stretch of the imagination, but so many people are using it now because it's doing great. Those are the three big ones. You surely probably don't want Argentine Bahia, and you don't want Bermuda. Those take different levels of care. So pick your grass. I would say if you're going to sod your lawn and you've got enough sun, you may want to go with zoysia. Nowadays, so many people are using it very successfully. Centipede's good. It's a native grass. It'll do fine in the right situation. Now, to answer the question, if they've had problems growing grass, if you tried to grow St. Augustine, did you put down lime? Mm. Because remember now, St. Augustine likes a high pH, sweeten the soil, if you will, because if you don't have that, the St. Augustine won't absorb the nutrients that you put on it. So you need to check that. Remember, we talked about the soil test.
Right.
That's the County Extension Service. So that might be a possibility. They might want to start there.
Okay. Well, our next question is about that. And the question is, how do you take a soil sample to the Extension office? Is it just putting some dirt in a baggie, or is there a specific way to do it?
Well, that's basically it.
Okay.
But take different spots in your yard.
Ah, so you would maybe mix more than one?
Okay. Exactly. And then take it, and they'll send it off, and they'll send you the report saying your pH is 5.8.
Mm-hmm.
You need dolomite limestone at the 40 pounds per 1,000 square feet. You'll get all that information. And you really need that if you're going to plant St. Augustine or zoysia sod. Now, if you're going to go to centipede, of course, as we've said, don't worry about that. It likes the soil we've got.
Now, okay. So we got to go. We got to take a break.
Oh, really? Now, I want to follow this up real quick on a few other things.
You got it. Okay, we will be back with the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, 850-437-1620. We'll be back right after the break. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with the Garden Line and Mike Wiggins. Mike, you want to wrap it up a little bit about talking about putting that lawn together?
Yeah, about that new lawn. Yeah, mm-hmm. And we've got a lot of other questions we need to get to today, too. So after the break, we may have to resort to a lightning round here.
Yes, it's coming in. We have lots of questions, which is great.
I can't tell you how much we appreciate your questions. We really do. Okay, now, remember, we've got the sun. We've got more sun coming in. We've picked our grass.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we picked St. Augustine grass.
Okay.
All right? So we've gone to get a soil test. We figure the pH. We put that lime down. Put it down before you put your sod down. Put the sod down. One, be sure you mow it when it needs it. There were, quote, experts years ago that said, okay, when you put your sod down, don't mow it for 6 weeks. That is wrong. You mow it when it needs it. Now, St. Augustine, you set that lawnmower at 4 inches or even 5, and you mow it, that new sod, when it needs it. And with new sod, to get that yard going, I would water it every day. For 2 weeks, every day, for at least half an hour. Run your sprinkler system or even your hose and your sprinkler.
Wow, that much, huh?
Well, oh yeah.
Okay.
A new sod is going to need that.
Okay.
What I would not do is use any weed killer whatsoever. You shouldn't anyway, because you've got brand new, hopefully, nice clean sod, but no weed killer whatsoever. And I wouldn't fertilize it until the fall. And that's when I would use the winterizer, which is going to help grow the roots.
Mm-hmm.
And then keep it mowed at 3 inches. I'm sorry, 4 inches, and go from there. So that's what you got to do. I need to emphasize how important the sunlight is. It just needs pure sun if you can get it. If not, as I say, do some tree pruning to allow that sun in. Because if it's pure shade, you need to landscape your way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Landscape the area. Don't even try sod.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you just gotta, no sense. It's so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So expensive. It takes so much labor.
Right.
To sod, to put it all out and then have it slowly deteriorate because it's in the wrong place.
It would be so frustrating.
Frustrating, exactly. In many ways.
Yes.
Financially.
Yes. Yes, it would.
Absolutely. So we don't want to do that. But then, because like I say, that winterizer in the fall is really important if you're sodding now.
Okay. Talking with Mike Wiggins and the Garden Line. If you've got questions, 850-437-1620. We're going to be back for another half hour of the Garden Line, so there's still plenty of time. We'd love to have you check in with us. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. That number again, 850-437-1620. We'll be back after the news. Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it is time for more of the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins.
We need to talk to the boss to see if we can do a 60s music show.
We would have so much fun.
I don't
fun.
Know if we'd have any listeners, but you and I would enjoy.
We would, for sure.
For sure. Okay, I want to go back to the ant problem.
Yes, you did mention that.
One thing I did not mention is a product that I've used before. That might help them. It's called Amdro, A-M-D-R-O, Amdro. Amdro is one of those granulars that you put on an ant bed that the ants take it down and it kills the queen all the ants.
Getting to the source.
And it doesn't, it takes time. It's not quick. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen overnight, but it might keep all those ants from moving to another location. So, Amdro, keep that one in mind. Give that one a try. See if that helps.
Okay, great. All right, we had another question that was a picture sent in, and the picture is of a branch that has
gray, peely stuff on it.
Yes,
stuff.
And you called it
lichen.
That's
a lichen. A lichen is you'll see it all over Pensacola. Lichen will get on plants, and as I say, it's kind of a gray, peely material. Very obvious. Lichen gets on a plant that has been traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
Too hot, too cold, disease problems, insect problems, too much water, too little. Anyway, you name it, the plant has been traumatized. And the lichen will then come on the tree. What do you do about it? You try to do everything you can to bring that plant back to good health. Pruning, fertilizer, being sure it's the right plant in the right place. Do all of that, and hopefully it'll help. Some people have used copper sprays to control the lichen, but I really wouldn't worry about that. I would worry about the health of the plant on which that lichen is.
Does it help to scrape it off?
No, that's not going to do much good. You can't really do that. I really think possibly as you bring that plant back to good health, that the lichen won't be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Visually, it's a problem. It's not very pretty. But I wouldn't worry about that. I would worry about the plant itself.
Okay. Great question. Got another one for you. A little different subject. We've been talking a lot about mowing the grass. So someone sent in, should I sharpen my new mower blades before putting them on my mower out of the package? They don't look very sharp or don't seem very sharp. So what should I do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If they just don't look like they're sharp or they aren't cutting right, yes. Because here's one of the problems of a dull lawnmower blade. And this goes to all of us who have a lawnmower while we need to keep it sharp. Let's go back to St. Augustine grass. You cut St. Augustine grass with a dull blade, two things are going to happen. One, you're going to be able to see it. It's just not going to be as, the mowing is not going to make the grass look as good as it would if it was a sharp blade.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's ragging off the top of that blade, which brings on, if you will, some of the fungus.
Oh,
that, remember the old one, your favorite, because you love to say Rhizoctonia. I know you do.
Shh, don't give away my secrets.
I'm sorry. But that's just one fungus that can, you can get it if that grass has been ragged off on the top.
Mm.
The grass somehow takes that fungus in if it's not cut with a nice clean cut.
So go ahead and sharpen it.
Oh, go ahead and sharpen it. Absolutely. And we all need to do it.
Okay.
I do it once a year.
Okay.
If we get to it. It's one of those things you say, I'll do it tomorrow. But if we can think about it, it certainly will help, especially with St. Augustine grass.
Okay. Thank you for sending that question in. Got another. We're going to just do a, what do you call that? You said a speed thing?
Oh, yeah.
Speed questions
exactly.
This morning? Okay, here we go.
I'm with you.
All right. Can I alternate BT and Liquid 7 on my garden? I'm fighting multiple bugs, eating my tomatoes, and want to keep the caterpillars out of my cucumbers. From Steve on Escambia Bay.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. BT is a great product. This is another one of your favorites. Bacillus thuringiensis. Okay, that's BT, which is, can you get it in liquid or you can get it in powdered form, which is organic. Mm-hmm. It's only very safe, and you can use it on vegetables only for worms. That's the only thing it's good for. Now, the 7 is not an organic product, but if you use, what I would recommend is 5% 7. You can generally buy 7 in 5% strength and 10% strength. Use the 5%, follow the instructions, and you should be fine. It's probably one of the least toxic insect controllers we've got because it'll help with those worms also, but also with other insects. Mm-hmm. It's a good broad-spectrum insecticide that's been used, once again, for decades and decades. And that's right. They're on the right track. I like using that BT because it's organic, totally safe, and that 7 will not only take care of the worms, but other insects. So okay. I think they're on the right track.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve. Okay, next question. My yard is mostly weeds and some grass. I have no idea what type of grass, but it's mostly weeds. Is there a grass seed I can put down that will make my yard look a little better?
Probably not. Not really. Not really. I think if you've got nothing but, you know, grass and weeds, and it's really sounds like it needs a total redo, because you can put out some seed, but what I think just I have seen this person's yard. You probably need to, I'm making work here for somebody. Go ahead. Let's get rid of all those weeds and grass and start from scratch.
Start over.
And resod in that area. That's probably the best way to do it. You could put down centipede seed once you get it all prepared and level and soft and all of that. But to overseed with centipede into a weedy, grassy area, I don't believe you're going to have that much success. The only success you would ever have with seeds would be with winter ryegrass, whereas then you would mow the grass. This is in the fall. Mm-hmm. This is in October, November. You would sow the winter ryegrass, which would make your yard just as green as it could be, but then it all dies out the next spring. It's annual ryegrass. That's the key word, is annual. It only goes for a year.
Gotcha. Okay, very good question. Now, this one's kind of a different one for you. I have blueberry and blackberry plants that are within 2 to 3 feet of a golf course. Should I be concerned with runoff migrating into the fruit? Thanks. And that's from David.
David, I would say, insofar as concern is concerned, yes. Yes. And here's what I would do. I would go talk to the groundskeeper of the golf course and say, okay, and just tell him the situation. Tell him what, you know, just your question to me and say, just want to be sure that what you're putting out on the turf, and trust me, golf courses use a lot of fertilizer, a lot of the necessary things that we put out to have a lush green carpet of grass. What are you using, and will it leach to my edible plants in my yard and even to my ornamental plants? Mm-hmm. I mean, just basic, you know, boxwoods, hollies, that type of thing. Yeah, just ask. I'm sure he'd be very receptive to that and would be glad to tell you, because you certainly don't want to lose plants, especially anything edible. I'm thinking more like a little vegetable garden. You want to be sure that you're not going to have some type of toxic material, which is okay to use for the golf course, but not okay to put into like a vegetable garden.
Great question. Thanks for sending that
in, David.
That is
a good question. Thanks.
We got to take a break already. Well, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Still taking your questions, 850-437-1620. Got a bunch more to get to, so don't go away. All different topics should be very interesting. Go ahead.
No, that's...
Oh, okay. He gave me the signal. I was like, okay, yes.
I don't know why I did that.
I don't know. Okay, we'll be back in just a minute. Good morning. This is Pep Talk and the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We're going to get right to our questions. This one was from last week, Mike. She says, or he says, we ran out of time last week to get to my question, so here it is again. I've had a lime tree in my yard for about 6 years. It's quite tall, however, has never produced fruit. Someone told me that I have to have two of them in order for them to bear fruit. Is that true?
I don't think on a lime tree you really have to worry about that. It's disturbing that it has gone that long and has not produced. Just a couple of comments here, because I'm kind of reaching. This is a reach. On citrus trees especially, you'll get growth from the bottom. They can grow relatively tall. They can grow out from the bottom below the graft, because all those citrus trees have been grafted. When that growth comes out from below, it looks pretty good. Doesn't look too bad, but it is not edible. It is, you got to cut it off. Go down to the very ground level and clip all that off. Now, I don't know if that applies to this particular tree here. The one thing that really comes to mind is it may be a variety that may not do well here. You know, keep in mind, we're in zone 8, zone 9. Citrus grows further south.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the variety you have, I think what I would do is this. One, check with the county. Take a sample of, cut a limb off, small limb. Take it up to the county agent. Let the folks at the Escambia County Extension Service see if they can identify what that citrus tree
is. That's a great idea.
Is. Maybe they can give you some help there. If not, you may be in a situation you need to, hate to say this, start from scratch.
Mm.
You know, sometimes we get plants that just don't do what we want to do. Mother Nature is a little weird that way. So I really don't have a good answer other than checking for that growth coming from the bottom, checking with the County Extension Service. And then, of course, be sure, I don't think we asked this question to our texter, is it in full sun? Is it in the right place?
Oh.
Is it getting fertilizer? Is it getting enough water? Did the cold weather of the last couple of years knock it back? And this is new growth that has come on it. So all those questions probably need to be answered.
Okay. All right. Very good. This one we're going to get to just because it's it just made both of us laugh out loud. But Carolyn sent in a picture, and the question is, how do I stop squirrels from robbing my tomatoes from the garden? And she sent in, I am not kidding, a picture of a squirrel on the fence with a huge tomato in
his mouth. Walking on the top of the fence.
Walking on the top of the fence with his little tail up like, I got one.
I gotcha. Well, that's a tough one. What you can do is put, if you put bird netting, which you can buy, so keep the birds away, like from fig trees. A lot of people use it on fig trees. Put that over your tomato plant. Maybe stake it somewhat so the squirrels can't get between the holes in the bird netting. That might help you. Some people will put up fake owls.
Oh.
You know, like a plastic owl right next to the tomato plant, which supposedly would scare the squirrels. Now, I deal with squirrels all the time in my bird feeder. I really have worked on that over the years. They're smart. They're going to figure out what you've done, and they're going to try to get around it. But I would consider that bird netting. You can buy it at any garden center and see if that doesn't help. And like I say, you may need to stake it somehow so it kind of drapes over it, so they have to go through the netting to get to the tomato.
They're so smart.
I'm not smart. You know who's smart? Is that squirrel.
The squirrel, that's
that
what I'm
had
saying.
That tomato in his mouth. That's who's
that's
smart.
That's a cute Pulitzer Prize winning photo right there.
That's exactly right.
Thanks for sending that in,
that's a
Carolyn.
Great picture.
Thank you, Carolyn.
We appreciate it.
All right, another one. I'm going to kind of shorten this one up, but a very long description of how this person had a whole family of cats underneath their back porch. The cats eventually moved away, but what they left behind was a terrible flea infestation. They've got it in the yard. Now it's coming into the house. And the question is there anything we can do? Any suggestions would be much appreciated to get rid of this flea infestation.
Yeah, I think handling fleas is more of an exterminator situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an Orkin or a Massey or someone who deals with that. We used to have some products you could put out in the yard for fleas. A lot of those were taken off the market for the residential market. But if you're going to do just something yourself, I would consider, I'm not saying it's going to work. I would consider just a granular insecticide. You can buy a little 10-pound bag of it. Spectracide is a good brand name to look for. But check the label to be sure it has fleas on the label. That's critical.
Okay.
And I think you'll probably find that in your garden center. But I still think if you're going to have problems in the house, under the house, that an exterminator might be your best.
Yeah, especially if they're in the house.
Oh,
ugh,
yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah, exactly. So I think get a pro in there. Let's see what he says.
Great advice. Okay, next question. How do I get rid of red clover?
Interesting. That's probably that's crimson clover
mm-hmm.
is another name for that. And it's kind of a perennial that wildflower, it's kind of like a wildflower. Over the years, some of the agricultural uses for that has been kind of a cover crop. You can get rid of it with some weed control, but if it's in your yard, in your lawn, this time of year would be a very difficult time to do it because it's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you put on the clover is going to damage your grass. You're up in the high 80s, the low 90s. You just need to put the weed killer on the shelf. You really do. That's the best thing to do. What I would also do is, this is looking way ahead, is in November, use our pre-emergence weed control. Do it in November. That's really important for this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then use it again in February. And that should inhibit some of this clover from coming back up. That's about the best I could do because it's everywhere.
Right.
A lot of people have that. It's in a lot of the right-of-ways, and
mm-hmm.
You'll see it in places where they have wildflowers.
Gotcha. Okay. So, wow. Well, we've got so many questions coming in. We're going to do our best to get to all of them. We're going to take a quick break here on Pep Talk with Garden Line and Mike Wiggins, and we'll be back shortly. This is Pep Talk and the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Mike, you had something you wanted to talk about?
I do, and I'm going to elaborate on this next week. I did want to mention this. I got a great text from Catherine, and tell him where you could go for you pick 'em fruit.
You're right.
I love that term. I'm just going to mention a couple of them, then next week we'll get more in detail. You pick 'em peaches is at the Peach Farm at 7003 Pine Forest Road in McDavid. Google it, because they've got all kind of information on what it costs, hints on bringing your buckets and all of that. It's kind of fun. Then Blue Basket Farms in Milton.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 7-acre, family-friendly, you pick 'em farm for blueberries.
Oh, fun.
Now, all of this is in season, so if you are thinking about a great family venture, grandparent venture,
yes,
to go to the you pick 'em farms, but the Peach Farm in McDavid, and Blue Basket Farm. And there's some more, too. We'll talk to them about them next week.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Catherine, for sending
that Catherine.
In. Got a couple texts about the lime tree. And so one person said, once it freezes, then it's done. It's not going to come back.
I'll buy that.
So that kind of makes sense. And another person said, do we know what type of lime trees do well in this area?
Key lime is good.
Key lime, okay.
Key lime will work.
Okay, and then we had one more.
We have to all understand that 20 degrees is sort of the benchmark, if you will, for damage to citrus.
Mm-hmm.
You get into the 14, 15, 16 degree days in Pensacola, which we've done,
mm-hmm.
Sometime all bets are off. A lot of it depends, quite frankly, on the microclimate, insofar as where it's planted, whether it's on the north or south side of the house. We're going to talk about that, too, in the next week or so. I've got some notes on that. So there are a lot of different things to look at, but I think the cold weather is very important. But key lime should work.
Okay. Well, real quick, last question from Judy. She said that a while ago you mentioned a product that would kill bahia grass and not the other grasses in the area. What is it? Should you use granular or liquid?
Well,
and that's our last question.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't really think there is a product that I can recommend right this minute to kill bahia that won't kill everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-emergence weed killers in the spring and the fall are your best bet. That's another one we need to elaborate
right.
on a little bit.
We'll put that on our list for next
it's
week.
It's on the list already. I just wrote it down for next week because it's
all
a
right.
great question.
Thanks, Judy. Thanks, everybody, sending questions today. Y'all are the best audience in the world. This
Wonderful.
Is Pep Talk. Thank you so much, Mike Wiggins.
Oh, Mick, thank you. This was fun.
It was fun.